The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It's time for some Week 10 Best Bets. And joining me to pick some winners, Pete Push Prisco and RJ White. What's up, fellas?
I hate pushes.
What's up?
I didn't like how we changed the on the NFL experts page. And I guess it is technically more accurate. May have been RJ, so if it was your idea, apologies in advance for criticizing it. I liked it better when it was like it was always at a half point. So you either won or you lost.
It wasn't my doing, I don't think, unless it happened a while ago, but part of that is we're trying to give people the correct information on the market. And that's like true. Some of them, you never gonna, if it's three, it's three. And it doesn't move off of three. You're kind of shading it to help you guys out either way. If you give it 2.5 or 3.5.
Yeah. I think it should be that's accurate.
Yeah, sure. I just hate pushes.
Yeah, me too. And I had two of them last week.
You know who hates pushes the most are the sports books. They don't like giving back money. Like we wanted some action on this game. We figured it's going to be in a spot. We'd rather either win or lose, you know?
That's a good point. And if you're new to betting, a push means it hits the exact number, and it's just void because you don't lose any juice on a push. And if you're losing juice on a push, then you should probably shop elsewhere.
Yeah, you just get it's like you never made your bet. They just give you whatever your stake is back. Our pushes last week: Chargers -3 hit that three at the end for the field goal. On that weird ending, and then the Buccaneers had that last-minute comeback for Tom Brady. Second latest comeback in his career, I believe, 5 seconds, and he got that touchdown, got the 16-13 win, and that was the number. So,
It was actually the latest a fourth or a game-winning drive or a fourth-quarter comeback, however you want to define it, started in Tom Brady's career. 44 seconds left on the clock. That's the latest he's ever started. That's wild to me. I mean, not like it's easy to do with 30 seconds or anything like that, but you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of shocking that it was 44. He's always had 45 seconds or more.
I mean, that was a gift, but it doinked off Scotty Miller's face to a possession before. It should have been up anyways. All right. But the Hall of Famer might have brought him back, though, if that were the case.
I think Matthew Stafford might be hurt.
Well, I mean, his line is awful.
Yeah.
What are you basing that on? The fact that he's in the concussion protocol now?
I'm trying to just make up for Daniel Cordero gets it, the puffy bottom parlay. We're renaming it Brady Quinn, who by the way donated another $1,000 to a charity, a veterans charity, to celebrate Veterans Day. If you're listening to the podcast on Friday, happy Veterans Day. Brady donated, he's up to I think $4,000 donated in the name of the Jets. Fortunately for Brady, it's the Jets buy, so he won't lose any money this week. RJ went 3-2-1 in week 9. Finally, a hot week. Was it when the leaves turn brown, I wear the league crown? Is that what we say?
Yeah, except it never happens, though.
With me or you?
either one of us.
Somebody like Wilson always steals it. I went 4-1, and Pete went 2-2. Even Steven. Overall,
I
RJ.
I got gifts on the two ties. I'll say it, but
it was the take. Bucks and what else?
Chargers.
Oh yeah.
And I got one taken away from me because the Commander should have covered.
Oh yeah. Well, that's such is life in the NFL. RJ now 30-21-2, a scorching 9 games above .500. If you want RJ's picks, as soon as he puts them in every week, go to sportsline.com/join. Use promo code White. You'll get your first month for $1, and you can turn on RJ's alerts when he gets them in, so you get the best of the number. I'm curious to see if did you put any Viking stuff in on Sportsline?
No, we'll talk about that game in a minute, but I did not want to be on the Viking side.
I'm just curious if it was like injury related. Pete, 29-22-2, and I'm 25-29-2. I'm going to go on the right side of .500 this week. I'm feeling it. We start the head-to-head action here. We start with the Germany game, the early morning game, Seahawks at the Buccaneers. Tampa now on Caesars -2.5, -120. We're using Tampa -3, over under 45.5 for our purposes, Pete. Look, you got an MVP candidate against a washed up old man, Geno Smith and Tom Brady. Who you got here?
I'm going to take the Bucks. This line looks call me a big fish because I'm biting. I just don't understand this line. I think Tampa Bay, Seattle's okay, but this is a weird line to me. I think Tom Brady's going to light that secondary up. I know those young kids have played well, but I think they're actually going to have success throwing the football against them for once. The other side of the ball, look, Geno's played well. They can run the ball, and Bucks haven't been the same defense, but I just think this line looks funny, but I'm going to take Tampa Bay. I'm going to take Tom Brady minus the points.
This line was all the way down at 1 beginning of the week, and then people are kind of in the same boat as Pete. Like, what is Tom Brady doing only laying 1 against Seattle? And they bet it up and to 3 at one point. Now it's at 2.5. Tampa's offense has disappointed, but their defense is playing well, particularly against the pass. This is the first top 10 defense Seattle's faced since weeks 1 and 2. We know their offense struggled in those weeks. But I can't count on Tampa Bay to score in bunches with the state of their offense. I know you look at the roster, they're talented, but they're just not putting it together right now. Don't know if it's failure coaching. Don't know if it's a failure of the quarterback. Don't know if it's a failure of the offensive line, which doesn't look very good. And people will look at Seattle overperforming and say, well, they haven't played that many people. They haven't had the toughest schedule. Tampa Bay lost to Green Bay at home. Well, we know Green Bay is not good. Tampa Bay lost to Pittsburgh. Tampa Bay lost to Carolina. These aren't good teams that they're losing to. Seattle's D, I think, does enough to keep this one close. At 3, it's a best bet for me. I have Seattle +3 is a best bet. 2.5, I still like them, but you should be able to find 3 and play Seattle at 3.
Yeah, I got Seattle +3 is a best bet too. Sorry, RJ. Don't want to take you down.
Enough. You're hot, man. I'm good. But back up all my picks now.
Yeah, you know, it feels like it was a while ago, I suppose, because it was, you know, early October. But, you know, I remember you saying on this podcast, you're like, yeah, everybody's talking about the Lions as a team that, you know, goes to the over, but it's actually the Seahawks. And we got a 48-45 score against Detroit and then a 32-39 score at New Orleans for the Seahawks. They've won 4 straight games since that loss to New Orleans in the Superdome, 2 on the road, 2 at home, gave up 9 points to the Cardinals, 23 points to the Chargers, 13 points to the Giants, 21 points to the Cardinals. Now, I know those aren't, you know, just insanely explosive offenses, but something has changed with this Seahawks defense over the last month, and it's really looking sharp. You know, you do worry a little bit about, will Pete Carroll try and pound Kenneth Walker into that front of Tampa Bay? Because that's, and as you pointed out, they are better against the pass than they have been in years before. But I like Seattle with the points. I just think if you're giving me 3 points with this criminally undervalued all year team in Seattle, I'm going to take them. I also like the fact that Seattle, I don't know if you know this, Pete, this is a fun fact of the day. The Earth is round.
No kidding. They go over the top, is what you're going to say. Their trip is a little less than,
or it's a little bit more.
Their time zones are a lot different, aren't they?
Yeah, of course. Now the other thing is Seattle went a day earlier, which I kind of like. And again, it's fairly, you know, it can be hit or miss on the specifics of what works for changing time zones and changing countries for these teams. But I like the fact that they are. I like the fact that they are there a day earlier, and you saw this video of them getting hyped up. No jet lag for the Seahawks. Give me Seattle, which supposedly is the most popular NFL team in Germany, even though Tom Brady probably more popular. Seahawks is the best bet for me.
Now, how many knee highs do you think were on the plane?
I bet Gino like moonwalked on the plane just to like make fun, like, and like hopefully they videotaped it just to make fun of
Russell. I would love that. I love that. I said that all week. I said, please get me video of him high kneeing up
and just like just making fun of Russell. Did did you hear Pete Carroll's quote, by the way?
On, which one?
He said, "If you, we talked about this on the Brady Quinn football show, so I'll make it quick, but yesterday, but he said, if you notice, Gino's going off the wristband, and that's a big help," Carroll said. "It smoothed things out, sped things up, cleaned things up, and that's part of it, too. We never did that before. There was resistance to that, so we didn't do that before. When Shane says something to Gino, he's not doubting it. He's just going with it. So there's a real immediate flow that accelerates all the process." I mean, he's just kicking Russell under the bus. I love it so much. All right, next up. Saints, -1.5 on the road at the Steelers. Over, under 40 here, Pete. Andy Dalton out of primetime, back in the 1 o'clock slot on the road against a familiar AFC North opponent.
Yeah, I think this is a great spot for the Steelers. I really do. I think that they're coming off a bye. Saints are playing on a short week. They looked terrible the other night. Their defense was awful. You know, Pittsburgh isn't great, but I think they're being at home. You know, I think they're going to be able to run the ball on the Saints. Last week was terrible in their run defense. I think Pittsburgh will win the game outright. You're going to give me 1.5. I'll take it. So make it a best bet, Steelers.
Love the Steelers too. Great spot. Like you said, it was 2.5. I didn't put it in on Sportsline. I was hoping to get 3. I was being greedy. There's no reason it should have been 3. There's no reason it should have been 2.5. Now it's down to 1.5. Pittsburgh's D should have TJ Watt back. William Jackson, if he's healthy, boost the secondary. It was a big trade they made, but we haven't seen the fruits of that yet. I love the Pittsburgh money line too. I would have loved taking him +3 at home. For me, I play him in a teaser, get it up to +7.5. Pittsburgh has had a brutal schedule. Just two teams less than 500. One of them was Tampa Bay, which I mentioned earlier. One of them was at Cleveland, not a terrible team. They're just playing a lot of tough teams. They have 5 of their 8 games on the road too. So very bad spot for Pittsburgh. New Orleans coming on the short week. Like you said, they have a losing record despite 6 of 9 games at home. So they have a scheduling edge there too. I think Kenny Pickett's more comfortable in the offense coming out of the bye. You love seeing that reset with these young quarterbacks getting a little bit more comfortable now, should come out. Maybe they could do a little bit more different things offensively. I do think they're going to win the game, but definitely tease it up to 7.5.
I've got the Steelers as a best bet as well. The one thing that scared me was Andy Dalton. You know, everybody's dogging him after that performance against the Ravens on Monday night, but it's a short and now he's in, you know, the 1 o'clock slot. However, Andy Dalton in his career against the Steelers, and I mean, obviously Mike Tomlin has been there the entire time, 16 games played against the Steelers, 3-13, completed 58.4% of his passes, 6.1 yards per attempt, 19 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. That is a bad split and enough, I think, of a sample size that you can take into account that this Pittsburgh team and this Pittsburgh coaching staff, or at least the guy mainly in charge, understands how to pressure Andy Dalton, how to make Andy Dalton uncomfortable, and how to turn him over. That's almost a pick per game, man. That's pretty stout over 16 games.
Yeah, but the Steelers have had good defenses in times. They're not a great defense this time.
I know.
You can't. That's some of that stuff.
Andy Dalton's 3-13 against Pittsburgh, man. And the Bengals won a lot of games during that stretch when he was in Cincinnati. That's all I'm saying. Steelers best bet for me.
I've caught the boards. So we mushed them.
Yeah. There's no revenge here, right? I got a lot of revenge games here. Let me make sure I didn't miss them yet.
So we're gonna have to poo-poo half of them because I know you're stretching them.
Yeah, there's 5 of them, and you can probably poo-poo like 3 of them. But I was honest about it last week. Broncos at Titans. Titans -2.5, over under 36.5. Wow. Ryan Tannehill limited in practice on Wednesday. I don't believe we record this around 1 o'clock on Thursday. I don't believe the Titans injury report has come out for Thursday. If he's upgraded, RJ, I would assume that this moves past 3, right?
Yeah, you got to figure if Tannehill's the quarterback, people will like them. I see also Jeffrey Simmons still in a walking boot as of 1 p.m. Thursday, too. So that would be a big loss for their secondary.
Pete, what do you think about this game?
That's their defensive line.
I'll take the Titans. That Broncos offense is putrid. I just think they're awful. And I know not having Simmons would be monster for them, but I just think that offense is so bad. Not that, you know, Malik Willis, if he plays, can actually pass the football. He's not ready for that, but they'll run it and run it and run it like they always do. They're tough. They'll cover this number. I'll take the Titans.
And they'll commit some magic on the Denver defense like they had the last two times to not know that a run is coming, because it seems like these defenses don't know what's coming, even though Malik Willis is at quarterback and they can't stop it. Somehow no one can defend that run game when they don't throw. The Denver's defense, number one in yards per play, but a lot of that is pass. They're 27th in rush yards per play. So maybe Tennessee's able to run the ball here. No offense, like you said, needed to buy more than Denver. They have terrible, terrible, terrible. I think that they might improve. 2 weeks to prepare, reset, do whatever they need to do there. The coaching edge here at 2.5 might steer me to the Titans, but 36.5 is the total. Got to tease it up to +8.5. Points are worth so much more in these super low total games that I made Denver the second half of my teaser with Pittsburgh.
I like that a lot better than going after just simply taking the Titans, which I definitely thought about doing. You know, you look at that Denver defense, and like you say, RJ, not very good against the run. I mean, Derrick Henry missed practice, not injury related, on Wednesday, or didn't practice. The Titans injury list, injury report is pretty lengthy, man. I mean, it does not bode well for a ton of healthy people on the field for Tennessee. But if their offensive line's out there and Derrick Henry's out there, and maybe Ryan Tannehill, or maybe Malik Willis is even better, because if you're going up against a team that can't stop the run and you don't want to pass and you just run a bunch of read option, you just pound Derrick Henry. I mean, if they hadn't gotten away from the run on Sunday night, they beat the Chiefs. I think they'll recommit to the run. I think they'll recommit to the run, obviously, and then double down on it in the second half here. I like the Titans. Almost made them a best bet, but passed because of the injuries. And if you like the Titans, as like, you know, if you're listening or watching and you like the Titans as a best bet, and you, as you know, we point out, if Ryan Tannehill practices on, or you know, practices like is upgraded from limited on Thursday, maybe dial on that because it could move up. Jaguars at the Chiefs. Chiefs -9.5, over under 50.5. Just the second time, Pete, that Doug Peterson, Andy Reid's old quarterback and Andy Reid's old OC, go head to head. The last time, 2017, when the Chiefs beat the Eagles by a touchdown in week either 2 or 3, I believe.
Since that Eagles team has so much relevance to this Jaguars team. is it a revenge game?
No.
He doesn't want to take the Jaguars, so it's not a revenge game.
Right. Exactly.
I think Doug Peterson and Andy Reid like each other. What's that?
RJ's on. You don't want to take the Jaguars, so you're not making it a revenge game.
I didn't even include it on my list.
Exactly.
Do you want me to take it as a revenge game?
Money line.
I actually think Jacksonville hangs around in the game. I think they're physical enough on defense to hang around. We saw what Tennessee did with their physical front the other day. I think they're going to make him be patient, and he doesn't like it. He threw for, 440 yards and didn't hit any big plays down the field till late. I think Jacksonville play the same style of defense, hang around. I'm not a big believer in that Chiefs defense. I think there's vulnerability there. So I'm going to tease the Jaguars is up and take 15.5 as part of my teaser.
It's interesting. I think with that angle, you probably would just want to play the 9.5 if you think it's going to go similar to that Titans game.
Yeah, but you never know, because with that secondary, sometimes in Jacksonville, they have guys that have lapses, so they might have some hits and shots down the field. So I'm taking the 15.5 as a teaser.
Yeah, my problem with Jacksonville is they always seem like a one step forward, two steps back type of team. Every time it seems like they're getting better, then they fall apart in some other way. They haven't played awful despite their record, but I do like fading them off a win here. Kansas City, as you kind of alluded to, outgained Tennessee 499 yards to 229 yards. The Kansas City defense allowed 7 yards in the final 10 drives there. It wasn't just a late game thing. It was literally like Tennessee did what they wanted to for two, three drives, and then nothing from there. So I am a little bit bigger believer of the Kansas City defense. Jacksonville's defense, much better versus the run in the past. They're 26th in sack rate. I think Mahomes could have a big day here. Jacksonville's offense could run on the Kansas City defense, but I don't trust the pass offense as much if they fall behind. I have Kansas City -9.5 as a best bet. Surprised they didn't take care of business last week, even though they did get the win. I think they're kind of due for a big one here.
Yeah, the obviously you get the – Pete's got the Jaguars in the teaser.
Yeah.
So what, 15.5? 16.5?
Yeah, 15.5.
I was writing my picks column, and I was like, I think, you know, I think the Jaguars, like, you know, they can run the ball, like, you know, da, 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 I think they hang around, blah, blah, blah. Then all I could picture in my head was Mahomes throwing his third first quarter touchdown and the Jags just being completely overwhelmed by a KC offense that just decided to just come out and obliterate that secondary. I also think because everyone's going to play Justin Fields in DFS, that Mahomes might be a sneaky low-owned DFS option who just goes nuclear against the Jags. Just a thought. High total, 15.5. Won't be a very high-owned game or high-roster game or whatever it is now. No best bet for me here. I am on the site. I'm taking the Jaguars to, like, either jump. I hope they do what they did against the Eagles, where they jump out early and then the Chiefs do their thing and then the Jaguars just hang around long enough to stay inside the number. But if the Chiefs annihilated them out of the gate, it wouldn't shock me, and that would probably lead to a pretty comfortable cover on that best bet for RJ. Texans at the Giants. The New York football Giants, we have them at -5. It is actually down to 4.5 now. A total of 40.5. The Giants coming off their bye. The Texans actually got a mini bye after kind of keeping it close-ish with the Eagles last Thursday, Pete.
I think this is a great opportunity for the Texans to hang around this entire game because the Giants can't stop the run. They're bad against the run. Pierce will run for 130 in this game and keep him in it. And I just think that you're giving me that many points. The Giants, they've been okay, but you look at their numbers, they've just ordinary. And so I think the Texans are going to hang around. I'll take the 4.5 as a best bet.
Yeah, I get it. Nobody wants to believe in the Giants. They obviously didn't believe in them for much of the year. They kept on being underdogs, kept winning outright. Then that streak ended with that Seattle game. They had to go out west. The travel caught up to them, and they did not look great there. But they've had 2 weeks to stew on that loss. And when these very, very good coaching staffs, like I think we all agree the Giants have, you give them a bye, give them 2 weeks to prepare, cook up some other things, I think this offense could come out and look better than it's looked. Houston's awful at stopping the run anyway. I mean, Saquon should probably run wild no matter what they do. But I think you could put more wrinkles in the offense with Daniel Jones and Brian Daboll figuring out some stuff to do. That the Giants are going to score more points in this game than people think. The Giants can be run on too, but they're great on third down, and that mitigates the damage there. They don't give up a ton of points. I'm not that comfortable laying a bunch of points with the Giants offense with how they look, but I'm going to trust in Daboll here and the fact that Houston is terrible, that I made Giants -5 a best bet, but obviously would like it at 4.5 better.
Ooh, we're on opposite sides on a couple games. I like it.
Did Pete, did you want to have the Texans as a best bet or Texans in a teaser?
What did I have it on the sheet?
You had Jaguars Texans teaser.
That's fine. Texas teaser.
Okay. So you got Texans +10.5.
Yeah.
That feels a lot more comfortable. I sent my picks in and had not seen RJ's. I'd be petrified of RU right now, RJ. I got the Giants -5 as the best bet too. This is an insane number for a team like the Giants that likes to keep everything within, you know, like just all, every game is really, really close, but they're coming off the bye. And I'm sort of blindly trusting, this is a complete leap of faith here, but like Sean McDermott undefeated coming off the bye, everything that the Bills have done well, like you've seen it transform or like carry over to the Giants. And so I'm kind of giving Brian Daboll a leap of faith here coming off the bye. I think maybe more importantly, you get a rested Saquon Barkley, a rested rejuvenated offensive line for the Giants and a Texas team that just cannot stop the run. Barkley goes ape in this one. I think Damian Pierce could certainly have a big game as well. But I like the Giants as a best bet -5. And
I get 11.
Oh, you get 11. That's right. Yeah. Any Saquon Barkley over rush yard props.
Yeah. Before we move on, I just want to congratulate Pete on taking the overall lead in our little competition this week, since I'm on the same side of Brinson.
It's like 2 or 3. Let's take it. I'll tell you what, we'll take a break. RJ can reevaluate his life choices. And when we come back, we will, we've got some breaking-ish news about the Vikings and the Bills game, which also could perhaps be our first revenge game. Next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Vikings at Bills. Obviously, the big news here that Josh Allen is dealing with some kind of injury, or he's dealing with what has been reported as a UCL injury. I don't think the Bills have actually announced it. They just said it's like a right arm or right elbow injury. Is that, am I right there? This line was 6. It came down to quickly just kind of moved down. I think it got down to like 5.5, then 4, 4.5. And now it's down to 3.5. We may see it move again because let's see who reported that. It was Joe Buscaglia, I think, of The Athletic in Buffalo. Bills quarterback Josh Allen was not practicing on Thursday during the media viewing portion of practice. RJ, I'll ask you first. If Josh Allen is ruled out and Case Keenum, former Vikings quarterback, is their backup quarterback, is their starter for Buffalo, where does this line end up?
The other side of 3, probably.
Okay, so you don't think it gets past, you don't think it gets down to like 1 or a pick 'em or anything?
It's possible. If I think the people that are loading up on the Vikings are already loading up on the Vikings, so are they going to throw so much out at on Vikings +2.5 to drive it down to pick them? Like, I don't know.
What will this be? This will be the fourth game the Vikings have played against the backup quarterback.
Yeah.
We still don't know how good they are.
I know. They're good, right?
Are they? They're good on offense. They should be. But
I think they're good. I think they're good.
Yeah. Okay. No matter who plays, I'll take Buffalo. I think this is the Vikings are playing consecutive road games. It's technically a big game, so that could hurt Kirk, right? I tried to argue with Rick Spielman about that the other day. He was trying to say it wasn't a big game because it's outside the division. I go, come on, Rick, it's a big game.
By the way, if Rick Spielman is arguing, he's desperately trying to argue that it's not a big game and that's why Kirk will be fine. Like that means it's probably a big game and Kirk's probably going to soil his pants. Like that.
Yeah, it's a big game, but I'm going to take Buffalo. And are you counting this as a revenge game for Case Keenum?
Absolutely.
This is why we have the revenge parlay.
This is why the revenge parlay exists. Case Keenum took them to the NFC Championship game on the Minneapolis Miracle and then was cast aside for Kirk Cousins.
He wasn't that good. But
he gets to take Kirk Cousins down.
Here's the other thing. Buffalo's got a good roster. If Josh Allen's done for the year, they're pretty much done. But if he's done for a couple games, they can navigate that.
Yeah,
they're a good team. So I'll take Buffalo minus the points.
That is exactly the point, Pete. Buffalo's defense is elite despite the injuries they've dealt with. No team is top 21 against them. That includes Miami. That includes Baltimore. That includes Kansas City. And they are able to hold all these great offenses down because they have a great defense. They have a great roster that can supplement Case Keenum, Stephon Diggs, all the good receivers they have. Minnesota keeps winning, not getting the market respect because they have a negative yards per play differential, 17th in yards per play on offense. Needed that bad Washington turnover that Pete's been grousing about to get the key late touchdown and get back into that one. Minnesota's defense awful against the pass and in the red zone. I think Case Keenum can come in and score points here. We've seen examples in the past of a situation where a team has not been lost because they had to turn to their backup quarterback because the roster around him so good. You say Case Keenum was number two seed with the Vikings that year. Number one seed was the Eagles. They won the Super Bowl with Nick Foles. And so we've seen this type of situation happen in the past. I don't think the Bills are out of it with Case Keenum. I want this line to dip under three after Keenum gets announced as a starter. And I love Buffalo here because I think they have the roster to win this game at home with Case Keenum at quarterback.
And I also wanted to dip under three because then my money line parlay, my leg one of the revenge, the Brady Quinn suggested we call it the red ass parlay. What do you think? Red ass or revenge parlay? I like revenge parlay, I think. Coffee bottom.
Call it whatever you want now. In like 3 weeks, you're going to have found a beer company to sponsor you, and that'll be the name of it. So it doesn't really matter at this point.
That would be
Did you win it last week?
We didn't do it last week. If there's not enough revenge to go around, we don't operate with it.
Okay, so you're counting this as a revenge game. You'll take the Bills too, then.
I mean, I think Case Keenum qualifies.
Yeah, we'll give you that one.
Thank you. All right, so that's part one of the revenge parlay. I think I've got enough to get us to two or three games. But yeah, if Case Keenum starts, now if Josh Allen starts.
You got Doug Peterson revenge game. You can always throw that one in there. Oh, you don't want that.
Money line.
If I have to.
You don't want that. Okay.
I don't think Doug Peterson and Andy Reid have beef. What's their beef? They love each other. He's the one who got Doug Peterson a job, and they both won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't know if they love each other, but.
Really? Really? Why do you say that? You can't just do that.
I don't know if they love each other. How do you know if they love each other? I don't know.
Doug was Andy's quarterback and like Andy's OC. Why did they not like each other?
Yeah, I don't know.
So, because I think it's kind of based on the fact that Andy Reid's so likable now that Brinson's saying that you can't have a revenge game against Andy Reid. So let's keep that in mind whenever Miami plays Kansas City, because now we can't have a Tyreek Hill revenge game.
Oh, no.
I mean, Tyreek's got to like Andy Reid. Come on. Andy Reid's so likable.
No. That would be like a, but you could also argue this, like, Mahomes revenge against Tyreek. You're not our offense, buddy.
Revenge against Mahomes.
That could be either one.
Double revenge game.
I'll be the one who decides for revenge. Okay. Okay. Moving along to the Browns at the Dolphins. The Dolphins -3.5 over under 48.5, Pete.
I like the over in this game. I think this gets loose. I think these two defenses stink. I think Miami's defense is one of the most disappointing things I've seen in a long time. I thought they'd be pretty good this year. They're not. Cleveland's defense isn't much better. Tua will have success. The Browns will run the ball as they always do. I'll take the over as one of my best bets.
Miami's
I also like Miami a little bit too. I don't love them though.
Number one in pass yards per play for Miami. Tua has won every game he's finished this year. Cleveland, they stepped up before the bye versus Cincy, but it was a Cincy team missing Chase, and more importantly, they have a bad offensive line, and I think you can take advantage of teams playing Cincinnati with good pass rushes, or especially good edge rushers. Miami's offense is ninth in sack rate, though. I know they take a lot of heat for being not a good offensive line, but they've been good at not giving up a lot of sacks. They have the best wide receiver duo in the league. I don't think Cleveland stops them at all defensively. And Miami's not going to get enough credit for beating Detroit and Chicago, but when you stack road wins in this league, I think that's all you can do, even if you can't win by large margins every week. So I think that's big. I think the Dolphins in the past would have lost at least one of those games, and maybe even both. But I take that as a positive, even if they only won close games there. They have one of the best home field advantages in the league, 3 points in my power rating, certainly more than 1 point better than Cleveland when it was 4. I gave it out in Sportsline at -4. It dropped to -3.5 because I guess there's Browns believers. I think the line should be 7. I have Miami as a best bet.
I've got the over as a best bet as well, along with Pete. 48.5, 49 is fine.
No. Every time we get it paired up on an over, it goes rotten.
But here's the thing about this over, too.
Stay the hell away from my over.
The Browns, you can throw in the Browns, and Miami can throw, right? I mean, the Browns defense isn't that great. And Nick, even though Miami's run defense is actually a lot better, I think, than maybe the stats show, because the only huge rushing games they gave up were against Lamar Jackson, who had 119 rushing yards, and then Justin Fields, who had 178. You know, the Browns should still be able to run. And Nick Chubb is one of the rare running backs, maybe along with Derrick Henry, but like just so explosive in terms of popping off these big runs that he can actually help encourage an over through the run game. Like he can like get the tempo of a game moving quicker. That's just how Cleveland's operated over the past few years. So, I mean, I love the over in the spot. I think Miami overs have been pretty solid lately, so I will take the over. I also lean towards Miami at -3.5. A real quick question, just to circle back, because I was looking at my picks pool, and anybody who does CBS, you know, we have awesome picks pools on CBSSports.com. If you're in middle of the season now, but you should plan on getting one in next year if you haven't already. If you have Buffalo -6.5, because they lock on Tuesday, you kind of have to take Minnesota, right?
Yeah, unless Josh Allen gets rolled in.
Right. Okay. Just making sure. Even if you like Buffalo to win the game, which I do. All right. Next up, Cardinals at the Rams. Both quarterbacks in this game. The Lions actually, Matthew Stafford's in concussion protocol, and the Lions actually moved towards the Rams, which tells me that there's some concern about Kyler Murray, who was listed on the injury report, possibly not playing in this game. Pete, it's kind of hard to handicap it because we just don't know what the status is for the two quarterbacks, and that would obviously change the setup of this. But you see the total at 40. I mean, it does seem like we could see John Walford and Colt McCoy.
These teams stink.
They do stink.
I mean, both offensive lines have major issues. I just think every time Stafford takes a snap, his eye level comes down because he's looking for who's going to hit him.
It's a Hall of Fame performance this year.
I don't love, you know, you can't, how can you pick this game? But I'd take the Rams just being at home. That's all. I lean to them.
And the line didn't, you said it, the line move, even when Stafford's ruled with the concussion, gets put in concussion protocol, it was 3 early in the week. And then dropped to 1.5. Now it's at 2, maybe a little more optimism with him, maybe a little more pessimism with Murray. Who knows? If at 3, I was leaning to the Rams. If Stafford gets cleared, I like the Rams. All 5 Rams losses have been the top 8 defenses in yards per play, top 7 defenses in sack rate. Arizona's defense, 26 in yards per play, 27th in sack rate, 25th versus the pass. Much easier matchup for him than he's faced for much of the year. The Rams dominated Arizona in that first game, 7.4 yards per play to 4.5. Arizona had to execute long drives to keep them in the game, ended up losing, I believe, by 8. I think a similar strategy here should lead to a much needed Rams win, where they win by, if not 8, even more, if Stafford is healthy. So if Stafford gets cleared, even if it does go up to 3, I like the Rams.
I've got the Rams -1.5, and it's obviously 2 now, which is fine, as a best bet. Regardless, if you look at this, like, you know, we always talk about how Kyle Shanahan owns Sean McVay. Well, Sean McVay owns Cliff Kingsbury. He's 6-1 against him, including the playoffs. The only loss to the Cardinals since Cliff Kingsbury took over Arizona is that first matchup last year. And it was coming on the heels of the Rams beating the Buccaneers at home in the Bucs defending champs, right? I mean, huge game, like the afternoon, I think it was the afternoon Fox game, but like McVay and Stafford were going nuts on the sidelines, like a really emotionally charged game, and then the Cardinals were kind of the letdown spot somehow. So I just think for whatever reason, McVay has his number, and I think he can pull it off whether he's got a backup quarterback or the starter. The way the line is sitting, the way that things are going on, and the total here leads me to believe that we're not going to see Kyler Murray. Colt McCoy was great in backup duty, but I don't think it'll matter against this Rams defense. I will take the Rams as a best bet. Chargers. So
if McVay has dominated Kingsbury, is there a possibility that Kingsbury has a revenge game angle here?
No, because they play twice a year.
So no revenge.
Look at RJ's trying to get him to take something else that he doesn't.
I mean, the first week of this, he did Belichick against the Jets. I'm just trying to stretch to meet that level of expectation.
I mean, Belichick hates the Jets, man. I don't know what to tell you. Like
Belichick
they play twice a year.
And not only that, it can't be.
He resigned from coaching the Jets because ownership
fired. He did it. They should have revenge against him.
Well, they haven't done a very good job of that.
They played 40 times since that happened.
I actually missed a revenge angle on the previous game. Jacoby Brissett at the Dolphins feels like a stretch.
No.
I said it feels like a stretch.
No, that's a stretch. That ain't count. That doesn't count.
All right, take it off. We still got 3 possibilities left. One of them is a stone cold lock. Even you couldn't dispute it. You know what it is, too.
Keep going.
Chargers at the 49ers, Sunday Night Football in San Francisco, a hefty number. The San Francisco 49ers -7, total of 45.5. Pete, you're, I mean, look, I know Brandon Staley's your favorite coach in the NFL.
Oh, my God. Last week, they didn't try a pass down the field in the first quarter. It's repulsive. It really is. I'm not taking them in this one either. I think Christian McCaffrey is going to go for 150, 160 against that run defense. They'll control the tempo. They'll control the game. It's not like the Chargers scare you with no receivers down the field, even though the kid has a cannon for an arm. I'm going to take the 49ers and lay the 7.
I have the Chargers as the best bet at +7. Chargers tried to charge you last week with that late fumble. Atlanta chargered right back, gave them the ball back.
Actually, the Falcons falconed right back.
The Falcons falconed, and the Chargers tried to charge her. So I guess a falconing is more potent than charging, we found out. But Chargers met expectations. They won by 3. The line was 3. And this look ahead was 4.5, and now it's 7. And San Francisco didn't play. So what changed? You know, I don't know. Like, the market just seemed want to go all in on San Francisco's offense with Christian McCaffrey getting 2 weeks, maybe get more integrated here. I already had them as a +4.5 power rating. I don't know how much more you want. I mean, if I start moving them up 2.5 points, we're talking Eagles Chiefs. And so if you want to make the argument that they're that good, go ahead. I think we still need some time for that. We'll see if the Chargers offensive line holds up against the elite San Francisco defense. But this line's 2 points high to me. I would make it 5. Chargers can fall flat every so often. They've won 4 of 5 since that injury rash early in the season. I think they're underrated at this point. So I think they'll keep it close. I got Chargers +7. It seems like too much value for me.
Yeah, I lean towards the Chargers. Just, I mean, the number is just huge. I mean, the Chargers like to keep games close. It does feel like everybody's sort of jumping, climbing like quickly aboard the San Francisco bandwagon, doesn't it? Like, and trying to hype. Like, if I think if you ask the,
so, I mean, it, do I we think agree if they're healthy, they're the best team. When healthy, they're the best team in the NFC.
I'm sorry, say that again, Pete.
I said when healthy, they're the best team in the NFC.
So you think they're better than who?
Eagles and Cowboys.
So you think the 49ers are better?
What?
End of the year, they will be.
I'm just trying. I don't necessarily. I'm just trying to. I want you to.
I know you got the Eagles in the Super Bowl. So
and it's not for me. It's for Billy, who takes like extreme umbrage anytime anyone questions whether the Eagles are the best team in football or not.
Now, right now, the Eagles have earned the right to be the number one team in the league. They've earned that right. But at the end of the year, the 49ers will be the best team in the NFC.
Hey, I bet 49ers Super Bowl before the season.
What's that? Sorry.
I bet 49ers Super Bowl before the season. So I am at it if it happens. But, that's, you know, right. It's just +4.5 is as high as I'm willing to go for them on their power rating right now. I can't get into Eagles territory.
Did you have 49ers Ravens?
Yeah, I had 49ers winning Super Bowl, Ravens winning AFC, +1,100, I believe, on Ravens, and +2,000.
Boom! I have the Eagles and the Ravens in the Super Bowl, but I want to say I took the 49ers, too, because I agreed. I thought the 49ers and the Eagles were the
– I took a team that I don't want in the Super Bowl. The Packers.
Always.
Packers Bills.
Are you finally giving that up, Pete? Next year, no more Packers picks for the Super Bowl.
It depends what they do in the offseason. I mean, they've had so many injuries. I mean, it's ridiculous.
This guy can't give it up. Can't quit him.
Well, they're, you know what? No matter what they do, they could sign Merlin Olsen and Bob Lilly in their prime, and they wouldn't stop the run.
Speaking of the Eagles. Commanders and Eagles, Monday Night Football. I put this one down as revenge. I don't know. It's,
you got no revenge. You're getting it from an angle.
Well, it was going to be Carson Wentz, but he's out.
Right, so no revenge.
Okay, that's fine.
Don't have a revenge parlay yet.
I guarantee you, I do.
If you want to play revenge angles in these divisional games, you got to look at did a team win twice last year, and then the other team's like, we got to get a revenge next year.
No, he's going for players who are coaches.
I know what he's doing, but with these like divisional games, that's what you got to look at from the revenge angle. Right. If Washington lost twice and got embarrassed, then it's a revenge angle.
I threw the look. Carson Wentz played for the Eagles, and I listed it on here just to throw it out there because two weeks ago, you completed, Pete, the freaking revenge parlay by pointing out that Washington should be getting revenge on the Colts for trading them Carson Wentz. And that actually hit. So Eagles -10.5 is what we have, I believe. Yeah, we have 11. Sorry. That's what the line is right now. Over under 44, Pete.
This line is too bloated for me. I'm taking the 11. I think Washington is going to hang around. They're playing better. Their defense is playing better. I know it's a tough situation with Philly coming off the bye, but 11 points is too many in a division game. I'll take Washington plus the points as the best bet. I've been on Washington a lot with my best bet, by the way. I don't know why.
You love that team. They're such a well put together team with a great quarterback and everything.
Sorry. Go ahead, RJ.
I think that's fine taking the 11. I mean, we're getting to the point of the season where undefeated teams tend to be a little bit inflated. I don't know that that's happening with Philly. Just power ratings wise, maybe people aren't putting them as high as they should in terms of.
Can't stop the run, though, RJ. They cannot stop
the run. They've had troubles with that, especially that Jordan Davis injury. Like I mentioned, heading into that game was going to be an issue, and then they couldn't stop the run without him. But Washington's offense mostly rough versus Minnesota when the ref wasn't committing OPI. So maybe they can enlist the refs to commit OPI for them here and keep this one close. But with that Washington offense, 28th yards per play, they do nothing well to me. They top 17 points once since week two. I think this game's an under game. So I would lean to the under at 44, but not a best bet.
By the way, AG, Attorney General Carl A. Racine of Washington, D.C., or I don't know wherever he's from, tweeted out at 1:15 in the afternoon on Thursday, breaking: my office is suing Commanders owner Dan Snyder, the Commanders, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, and the NFL for colluding to deceive district residents, the heart of the Commanders fan base, about an investigation into toxic workplace culture.
Now, do you know that that's a real Twitter account? I'm not on Twitter. I don't know, but we're 3 days into this. Like, I wouldn't just say things that are
actually on Twitter. Have you seen some of the stuff that's going on with these like fake verified Twitter accounts?
Yeah.
Like
LeBron,
how will you live, Brinson, if Twitter goes kapooey?
I mean, I
it's your whole world.
That's just not true. And did you see the Nintendo one? The Nintendo one's amazing. So right now you can log on to Twitter, sign up for an account, pay $8, and you get a check mark. Like, there's no, like, you don't have to be like, hey, I'm so and so, here's my ID, or hey, I'm like,
we had to go through a verification process.
Yeah, we had to send our IDs. Yeah, exactly. And so someone signed up for Nintendo US, which is somehow not taken by Nintendo, right? And they posted a picture of Mario just giving the bird. Like, he's like just giving the bird. And then they got suspended and everybody started like attacking regular Nintendo's Twitter account, complaining that they tweeted out Mario flipping everybody off. It's utter chaos in these streets, to RJ's point.
Nobody could have predicted that could have happened with this situation. I actually, right before we jumped on, I downloaded an extension on Chrome that puts a different badge on the paid Twitter.
Is it really?
It's an actual verification. Yeah, it's some you just have to some two guys developed it. I haven't actually tested it out yet on real Twitter, but it'll tell you different names of them when the check mark is there. So I think that'll help.
All right, Pete, in a hypothetical world where CBS, your employer for 43 years running, is not willing to pay the $8 a month for your Twitter badge, will you be paying $8 a month to keep your check mark?
No.
Okay. Just curious. I'll get off.
I don't care.
Will pay $8 a month?
Yeah. Who's going to pay? Like, it has a negative societal Brinson's effect. Look at me. I'm paying to be verified. Like, come
Brinson's on. Going
to
pay. That's his whole world. Twitter.
I never pay for that. What are you not? That's crazy. All right. Let's go back to the picks. Keep moving. I don't need to talk about my world. Couple games left. And here's where we sew up a guaranteed revenge game parlay. There's no denying this one, my friend. The Cowboys and Mike McCarthy.
We'll give you that one.
Yeah. Cowboys-Bills. We got Cowboys-Bills right now. Cowboys minus 4.5. Mike McCarthy's return to Lambeau Field. He got emotional about it. The Packers are as down as they've been since he got fired. He might roll a massage table out on the field to remind them that they can't compete. Dallas minus 4.5. I mean, can you imagine, like, if you try to come up with the weirdest possible scenarios, like, before the season started, you couldn't even get to Cowboys favored by 4.5 in Green Bay with a healthy Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, I'm going to buy a shovel, and it's going to be my new shtick during the season because I started it last week with the Packers. I said I was going to take out a shovel because that hole is getting dug. They're done. They're dead. Throw them in the hole because I'm going to start burying them with my shovel. They stink. And not only that, they're hurt. Now you don't have Gary. Stokes was in a boot all week. Dobbs in a boot. Aaron Jones was hurt. The line is hurt. Give me a break. Mike McCarthy is going to go in there and get revenge for you. I will take the Packers minus the points.
Why wouldn't it be an Aaron Rodgers revenge game on McCarthy for leaving and sticking him with LaFleur?
because he got sticky with LaFleur. What are you, stop
he got fired.
RJ's good.
I'm just looking at it from
Aaron. He didn't care.
I'm looking at it from Aaron's point of view. Like he's just looking for people to blame. You know, it's the receivers, it's the offensive line, it's everyone else, the quarterback coach.
It's him.
Good grades.
It's him.
So. This line's trending toward Green Bay. It's plus 4.5 now. Green Bay continues their downward spiral, but their offense wasn't that bad aside from the interceptions, which is like, you know, aside from that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play with how Rodgers played in that game? Dallas's offense is one spot behind Green Bay's offense in yards per play. So, I mean, if you just look at the yards per play that these two teams are getting, they've been equal offenses, and I don't think anybody would consider that with how we looked at Dallas. Dallas is much better at the goal line, obviously. Green Bay traveled for 4 of their last 5 games. They had that UK game mixed in there as a quote-unquote home game. Get to catch your breath a little bit. I think the value might be on Green Bay, even with the state of their offensive line against this ridiculous defense. So value's on Green Bay, but I'm not playing it. I'm just going to stay away.
I mean, look, man, I kind of want to just end the revenge parlay here, right here, because Bills Cowboys pays plus 125. That's a pretty good number. Having said that,
there's one definite one coming up still.
I know. And I'm trying. I know which way you're going to try and twist it to you.
Is this so? It pays 125. Just not. You're not taking anybody on the money line. You're just taking.
No, that's the money line. Bills and Packers on the money line because they're both favorite plays plus 125.
Okay.
Yeah. So look. I don't in 2 games.
So you're RJ's taking them on the money. You're taking them on
RJ's
the money
going to try and derail this parlay, and he's going to do it successfully. But I just hold on a second. He's going to try and derail this parlay. He's going to do it successfully. I would encourage revenge enthusiasts to perhaps just take the Bills.
No.
All right, Bills and the
you can't put out a partial. It's either
you
all
play revenge angles. You got to play revenge angles.
You got to play revenge angles.
Damn it, I hate you guys. I like the Cowboys here. The Packers are toast, man. It's just a bad matchup. Cowboys should be able to run at them all day. Michael Parsons is going to eat against Aaron Rodgers, and they're so banged up. It's like – you lose this one, by the way, and it's shut Aaron Rodgers down with that thumb injury. Play Jordan Love for a few games and just see what you got. See if you get some trade value out of him. That's my opinion. Just one man's opinion. Lions at the Bears. Bears -3. Over under 48.5, Pete.
Yeah, I like the Bears here. RJ mentioned it. The Lions made the plays when they had to, but you could still move up and down the field on them. I think Fields is starting to play really good football, not just running it either. I mean, he's throwing it better as well. I'll take the Bears -points.
Detroit defense lucky to now allow 9 in that game. Green Bay reached Detroit territory on every actual drive except for the kneel down at the end of the first half. Detroit defense last in yards per play, pass yards per play, third down percentage, points per game. They should get lit up every week, especially with an offense that's playing better. I also lean to Chicago, but play it at 2.5. I've seen 2.5s out there. Lean to the over, but Chicago 2.5 is a better play in this game.
I'm actually going to add the over is one of my best bets. A late add, 48.5. I love the over here. Doesn't look like Chicago. It's going to be cold there. It's my only really concern with Jared Goff and Cali boy prefers indoors, et cetera, et cetera. But neither of these teams can really stop anybody. I think the score in the Packers-Lions game, obviously misleading. I think we see a lot of points in this one, so I will take the over as a best bet here. Finally, we get to the game of the week, of the century, of the millennium. Jeff Saturday makes his coaching debut. Jeff Saturday, who replaced Frank Reich, who replaced Josh McDaniels, is going up against Josh McDaniels, who's coaching the Raiders. The Raiders are -6.
Wait, where's the revenge here?
I'll let y'all decide, because I wrote or on it. But first, I want to point out that this game is Raiders -6. I think it moved there when Jeff Saturday was hired, but when it was announced that he's letting a 30-year-old passing game coordinator call plays, and he gets to design this offense on like starting on Tuesday and install it for Sam Ellinger. Like the line didn't move.
An avid, for Pete, an avid Madden player, I think we can assume. So
I'm sure he's,
I know you like those guys.
Saturday's actually old school though.
Right. In 2015, and I don't want to crap on the guy who's calling plays for the Colts, because I mean, he's obviously better at football than me. But I mean, he was a general assistant at Stanford in 2015.
Brendan Staley was coaching at John Carroll like 7 years ago. What are we doing with that? So what?
I mean, hypothetically,
football. It's just football. It's not that complicated. Everybody's making it so complicated. It's not that complicated.
How are the players in the locker room going to respond to a guy that's never coached before, now leading the team?
Well, how are the players, if they respect him, they'll like him. If he handles them well, he'll be fine. That's not the problem. The problem with the Colts is, you know what it is? Can Jeff Saturday play center? That's what they need. Their offensive line is putrid. It's the worst I've seen. It's terrible across the board. And I'm talking about Brian Kelly's been dreadful. Braden Smith's been dreadful. Quentin Nelson hadn't been good. The left tackle's a rookie. He's been bad. And the right guards, whoever plays there, they benched their right guard 6 plays in Sunday because he gave up 3 sacks on stunts in 6 plays.
Are you talking about Matt the right Pryor. Guard that was the right tackle that was the left tackle? Is that what you're talking about?
He's terrible. Matt Pryor, he's terrible. They're right. Bad. The Raiders will feast and eat and dominate this game, lay the points. I love the Raiders in this one.
All right, what's the revenge jingle here? RJ wants to wreck the parlay by making the Colts a revenge.
Okay, well, first I'm going to tell you my analysis of the game. Indy's offense, atrocious, like you said. 0 for 14 on third down, 2 yards per play. How do you fix that? Impossible to fix that no matter who you are. You could hire Vince Lombardi reincarnated here into Jeff Saturday's body, and he's not going to fix his team. One Indy game is top 41 points all year. Scored 12 or less in all road games since week one. This game's going under. I like the under at 42.5. Did not lock it in as a play here, but it is up on Sportsline at that number. Now it's down to 42. Indy's defense has played well, particularly against the run where the Vegas offense has been better. This seems like an under game for me. This is an obvious revenge angle. Every player in the Colts organization wants to get revenge on Josh McDaniels for not taking over that team, obviously. You know, they would be flying high here. He's obviously a great coach. He would have fixed this team. They wouldn't be in the spot they are now. Of course, they want to get revenge on Josh McDaniels. He's finally a coach in this league. And now the team that he said, you know what, never mind. I don't want to coach you guys, even though I told you I would. I'm peace out. I'm going back to the Patriots. Get revenge on that dude. Colts all the way for the revenge angle.
I mean, you're not wrong. Like, I can't argue with it. I tried to come up with some way that
they're not revengeful for him not being there. They're happy he's not there. He would have been miserable.
So you're saying it doesn't count as revenge, Pete?
No, I'm not going to make you take it. It's not revenge.
Oh, it's the biggest revenge angle. If we're talking these Belichick stupid angles from 25 years ago, this is definitely a revenge angle.
Well, that's a terrible angle. There's no.
It's spite.
Okay, but what about this one? Gus Bradley's the defensive coordinator of the Colts, and he was the defensive coordinator of the Raiders last year. So we can add that in and make you take the Colts.
And he's not the interim coach, so maybe revenge angle on Jeff Saturday.
I think the Raiders are going to roll the Colts, or they should roll the Colts, given all the circumstances involved. If Josh McDaniels loses this game to the coach who and the team that's been like universally mocked all week long for these diversity pressures, does he get fired?
No. I don't know, but we'll definitely see at least 48 fake accounts firing.
Why didn't they? Why didn't they just keep Rich Bisaccia?
That's a good question. I agree with RJ. I think it is a revenge angle against Josh McDaniels for the Colts. Like,
Josh McDaniels bailed on that. You know why he bailed on that whole job?
Because he knew Andrew Luck was retiring.
He was uncomfortable with Jimmy Irsay.
Yeah, of course. He would want to work for Jim Irsay. He's a crazy man. So, if there's anything wrong with being crazy, I don't know.
I don't know if this qualifies as a revenge angle, but we're going to make it qualify as one. You got to take the
biggest
Colts.
I think it qualifies.
I was going to put it in. Obviously, I would prefer not to win the parlay. I don't know, Jeff Saturday, kind of inspiring. I like it. Let's go with it. So here's the revenge parlay. Cowboys, Bills, Colts money line, plus 585. Woo-wee. I think the Colts might win, and we just got a
winner.
By the way, his high school team did play a lot of spread football, just FYI.
You're ridiculous.
They did.
RJ, that's it for all the games. RJ, do you have any look-aheads?
Yeah, I got one look ahead this week. Pittsburgh plus 5.5 against Cincinnati. Pittsburgh's line tightening against New Orleans. If they win that game, which I think we all anticipate, they're going to get more respect here. TJ Watt likely playing this week, definitely playing next week. I think we can assume Cincy's offensive line has been a major issue. Definitely like fading them when they face good pass rushing teams. And now you got one of the best pass rushers in the league back here. Probably a week more of getting healthy in his second game back. So love Pittsburgh plus 5.5. I think this one drops.
All right. Again, the revenge parlay. You can round robin if you wanted to. Just saying. If you're scared of the Colts. Colts, Cowboys, Bills, money line. Josh McDaniels, Mike McCarthy, Case Keenum. That's like legit revenge. Plus 585 pays out. Here's a recap of all the best bets. Pete's best bets is the Buccaneers minus three, a Jaguars Texans teaser, the Steelers plus 1.5, the Commanders plus 11, the Raiders minus 6, and the Dolphins Browns over 48.5. RJ has Seattle plus 3, the Giants minus 5, Miami minus 3.5, KC minus 9.5, the Chargers plus 7, a teaser with Denver plus 8.5 and Pittsburgh plus 7.5. Mentioned the look ahead at Pittsburgh plus 5.5. Make sure you get that in if you're capable of doing so. I've got the Seahawks plus 3, the Rams minus 1.5, the Dolphins Browns over 48.5, the Giants minus 4.5, the Steelers plus 1.5, and the Lions Bears over 48.5. That is the best bet show for week 10. Let's go get paid. Let's keep the revenge parlay perfect. And remember, Pete, this podcast is in the top quartile, or is in the top quartile of the elite quartile of the top quartile of podcast.
You didn't know whatever that. The hell you just said.
I thought 7 billion would roll the tape, but whatever. Jimmy Irsay. Shout out Jim Irsay. May he give a press conference every week for the rest of time. For Pete, for RJ, I'm Brinson. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll see you guys later.
We're the fourth winningest franchise in the league since 2000. All right. That means in the upper quartile of winners, we're in the top quartile of that upper quartile. That's rare.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.